All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, it's UFC 261 this weekend, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried fantasy MMA yet, what are you waiting for? It's super easy to play. You just pick six fighters, stay under the cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, hockey and basketball are still going on, and DraftKings has even more ways for you to rack up the money throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That promo code is THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the We Still Suck podcast. Okay, let's start with let's talk about Sam Bennett, ex Calgary Flame, having some great success after three games in Florida. He's got three goals in three games with the Florida Panthers. And Dom Simon? Did he score a goal with us yet? Does he have one?
I don't think Dom Simon even has a point this year. Maybe he's got an assist or something.
I know he's assisted on a lot of the other team's goals.
I think Nordstrom has one goal, though. Definitely.
Nordstrom has one goal. Brett Ritchie has two goals. He's back in the top six. You got to love that, hey?
Well, you need those guys who can't score and can't skate in your top six.
It's really important to have fucking dead weight in your top six.
Yeah.
Really fucking important.
All the good teams have them.
You know what the best strategy across the board is? Just throw a fucking anchor right in your top six. That'll help you win games.
Sam Bennett also playing some really good hockey for the Panthers. His last few games, here's his expected goals for percentage. 78%, 84%, 85% at 5-on-5.
But it's because he's playing with fucking Huberdeer. That's why.
Oh.
It's okay. Funny what happens when you throw a decent player with some high-end talent, eh?
His goals were sweet. I know everybody's like, anybody could have scored those goals. Did you see him bat the puck out of mid-air? You could do that at home, sitting on your couch with your Cheetos. You could have done that.
Okay. I love how one guy's like, he basically just shoveled it in from 2 feet away. Yeah, that's usually what a goal is.
Yeah, you know what the expected goal value on that one was? A wide open net right in the crease. It's pretty high. So
I don't know what's
generally how you score goals, man.
I don't know what shocks me more. The fact that Sam Bennett comes out, has 3 goals and 2 assists in 3 games while demolishing players, while fighting, that, or the fact that you have Calgary Flames fans trying to poo-poo the whole situation.
Oh, he sucks. It's like, yeah, we realize he's not going to be a 90-point getter, but can't we like and cheer for the guy and be like, yeah, we're really glad he's doing well for his first few games? I don't know. That's what I don't get.
I hope he goes off. I hope that this isn't
too.
I hope this isn't a flash in the pan, because this is the one thing, right, that you know, we were still saying, well, we still haven't really seen Sam Bennett, you know, given he had, look, he never got an opportunity like this with the Flames. He didn't. Was he ever put in second line center with excellent teammates?
Well, everybody's saying like, oh, he's played with Gaudreau and Monahan this year. I don't know if you've been paying attention this year, but those two guys aren't particularly like up to snuff. So, I mean, Jonathan Huberto and Anthony Duclair are a step up from the ghost of Sean Monahan or Mark Jankowski or James Neal or Derek Ryan and Brett Ritchie or whoever else he's played with in the last 2 years.
Good on the Florida Panthers for putting him in a spot right off the hop. Because if there's one thing we know about Sam Bennett, the guy lives and dies with confidence. I don't understand how you can come into the league, make your rookie debut in the playoffs, and score more goals than half the rest of the team. And then struggle from then on. Well, he actually had a good first season under Hartley, and then basically struggle from there on out.
Well, it will be really interesting to see if he, like, because again, I don't expect him to be on their top line center or even their second line center for the next however many years, but it will be interesting to see, because is he going to be like Joel Colborne where, yeah, that's really all he was and he's not in the league in 2 years, or is he going to go off somewhere? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting.
I agree. I think the main thing of interest to watch is there a difference in how the organization in Florida handles this player? And if there is, if there's a direct correlation to the results and success he has on the ice. Because that was the one thing we were harping on. It's just like, okay, by the end of it, I was sick of Sam Bennett. By the end of it.
Oh, yeah, same.
So I'm not saying this team, the Calgary Flames organization, should have kept him at this point. But I still think you should have handled the player much differently given the last 5 years that he was here. And so that's what I'm curious to watch is, do the Florida Panthers, does that organization handle this player differently? And if they do, does it lead to sustained results? That's going to be curious for me to watch. That's why I'm very intrigued by the situation. And how can you not just fucking love Sam Bennett?
Dude, everybody who watched Ryan Leslie did a Instagram live with him. I think it was right after his first game. And I mean, the dude, how can you not like the dude? He's talking about how much he loves the fans in Calgary, and he was pretty much apologizing. He was like, I'm pretty impressed that most of them still like me, even though I had some struggles. It's like, how can you not love that guy? I love that guy.
Guy's a warrior. You think he's exciting to watch now.
Just wait.
The Florida Panthers are they are kind of exciting to watch.
Dude, they're a great team to watch. They're ahead of the Lightning right now, for Christ's sake. They're second in the division. What kind of division is this where Tampa's in third, by the way? Holy crap.
What can Sam Bennett do on a good team going into the playoffs? Because we haven't seen that before. We've only seen him on a shit team. We've only seen him in Calgary.
Imagine when the other guys are freed of the shackles of Calgary. Yeah, he's probably texting everybody from the beach.
Yeah, no shit.
His first tax-free check just was deposited into his bank account. He's like, Johnny, Monty, get out of there as soon as you can, boys.
Hey, guys, look what can happen when you get out of that shithole. We shouldn't talk too down on Calgary.
I don't mean the city. I mean
not as a shithole, but yes, the organization is not in my good books currently.
No, definitely not.
How can they be? We fucking suck.
We suck, and it's depressing. And like, well, I mean, Sean Monahan sure thinks there's still a chance to.
Oh yeah,
get back into things.
We got to win some games here. Starts tomorrow night. That's when it starts.
It starts with 11 games left in the season when almost last place.
Hey, everybody, in case you didn't know, it starts tomorrow night's when it starts.
Yeah, we need to win games, and it starts tomorrow. So we gotta focus on being ready for tomorrow night and go from there.
I cannot even listen to these players anymore. Not a goddamn one of them.
Mangiapane comes on. He's like, yeah, we're a little bit behind the eight ball. Oh, you think? A little bit.
Mark Giordano, notoriously. Yeah, we got to learn from that one real quick. So they just got to learn from what happened in the previous 30-whatever games. And then it all starts now. You got a 3% chance to make the playoffs. Starts now.
Learning how much these guys must have learned a lot over the past 7 years. That's all I ever hear is how much they're gonna learn from this one.
They must be writing fucking books by now. Hey?
Boy, I can't wait for the bestseller like Chicken Soup for the Flames Fan Soul coming out in a few years. Forward by Mark Giordano.
What I learned from playing on a shit awful team for two seasons. The trials and tribulations.
When is he going to learn to not blast the puck from the blue line every time it touches his stick? Why hasn't he learned that one yet?
When is he going to learn to aim around the shin pads? Huh? When are you going to learn that?
Oh, man.
All right. Moving on from Sam Bennett. Why don't we go right to David Rittich?
We got to come to this man's defense.
If you want to talk about the opposite situation right now in Toronto, and look, he played, this was his second start. His first start was against Calgary.
Yeah.
Played a fine game. None of those goals were his fault. His second appearance was coming in relief of Jack Campbell. I think he was fine. I think he let in one. Then his second start against the Vancouver Canucks the other night. He was doing fine until the third period. And then he was literally letting in shots from anywhere and everywhere. Just floaters to the net. Did you see both the goals?
The Pearson goal particularly was quite rough.
And listen, when you let in two stinkers back to back, it makes them both look atrocious. Like you can get away with one. Okay. You can maybe get away with one if you've been playing well. If you've been playing suspect and you let in a stinker, not acceptable. If you let in back-to-back, whoa. So, I don't know. I didn't even bother seeing what Leafs Nation had to say about it because I already knew what they were saying, but I don't know if you saw anything.
I was saying this last time, is the Leafs fans have overtaken the Oilers fans this season for being the most annoying the worst to deal with online. Like, they were crushing this poor guy. And we've had a history with a certain dipshit named J.D. Bunkus.
You know, it's bunk ass.
Bunk ass. J.D. Bunk ass. Being a dick to David Riddick. I mean, he comes on Calgary radio. Was this last season?
I think it was like two seasons ago.
It's early in the season. I don't know.
No, it was the beginning of last season, because it was going to be him the starter, and he thought that was pretty laughable.
Yeah, Bunkus thought it was hilarious that we in Calgary, our starting netman, or was David Riddick. By the way, I hope he knows it's Riddick now. Has he learned that it's not Riddick? It's Riddick. Has he learned that? Professional sports analyst dipshit. So J.D. Bunkus goes off about, why did the Leafs trade a third for Czech Michael Hutchinson? Yo, J.D. Bunkus. I will refrain from saying what I'd like to say right now.
You want to keep it PC, eh?
I want to keep it, you know, kid friendly today. Because the last one, I was dropped a few too many.
Hey, so, J.D. Bunkus.
J.D. Bunkus, suck it.
Go put your head in a vice.
Seriously.
Turn the knob.
Who is this guy? Who is this J.D. Bunkus?
Listen, and it's fine. If you want to be whatever, like pundit, I mean, I don't even have a problem if Steve Dangle says something like that. But if this guy is legit media, that's inappropriate right there.
Leave David Riddick alone. You pieces of crap in Toronto do not deserve this man. I hope he walks. I hope he leaves.
Dude, there's no way he will resign.
Dave, get out of that hellhole.
If this goes on.
Remember how I said I was cheering for the Leafs? I don't know if I can do that anymore.
No.
Because I can't. I don't want their fan base to be happy.
I'm going to cheer for David Riddick.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to cheer for the Leafs.
Me neither. Leave Dave Riddick alone. What's your problem? You letting two bad goals? Big deal. All your other goalies suck. It's funny to me. They worship Jack. Like, how much did you hear about Jack Campbell from the Leafs media on his little winning streak there about how he's a god? Oh, this guy. Oh, he's so funny. He's so relatable. Such a great guy. Then he loses a couple games and they want to shit all over him again. They're the worst.
I was watching the Dangle video earlier. It was funny because he was talking about how everybody's going off, right? And, you know, somebody, one of the blue check marks or whatever, is just like, when was the last time the Leafs had an actual goaltender? And somebody replies, 2 weeks ago when some guy went 10-0. Fucking idiot.
Exactly. Right.
So I don't know. What do you think's going on with David Riddick? You just think it's a one-off? That was terrible. I don't think we've seen him that bad.
I mean, probably, but that is his kind of his thing, right? Like, that was one of his problems here, is he let in bad goals. No. Like, his high danger save percentage was always pretty good, but what he was known for was letting in the softies, the stinkers, the ones, the backbreakers. Yeah. So I wasn't surprised to see him let in a few bad goals. I've seen him let in plenty of bad goals. So that's what you get. He's a backup goalie. What do you expect?
Hey, what do you expect?
What do you expect? So, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it. I'm sure he'll be okay. They brought him in there to give Campbell some rest. That's it. I don't know what everyone's all in such a huff about with Dave Riddick.
So Vancouver goes 2-0. So was the 20 days off a good thing or a bad thing? Because it was being hyped up as a bad thing.
Dude.
Was it a good thing?
What are we going to do?
All I know is the Vancouver Canucks are placing ahead of us in the standings.
The Vancouver Canucks have a better winning percentage than we do. They're 2 points back of us with 6 games in hand after their team was just decimated. They're like... This is what's funny to me right now that's going on is like the fire Benning thing is going around, but nobody says a word. They're going to be ahead of us. They're going to be better than us. They're better than us right now. Their winning percentage is higher. They're 500. Everyone's like, oh, fire Benning. What about Brad? We're worse than the Canucks. Oh my God. It's sad.
I wonder what the approval rating from the Athletic survey was on Benning, because Calgary fans apparently love Brad.
Dude, everybody thinks Brad is great. Everybody thinks, yeah, we trust Brad. What was it, yeah, like 70% of the survey responders trusted Brad Chilliving or something? Ridiculous.
Roll out the red carpet for this bozo.
He's done a great job.
Real great.
Vancouver, again, they lost their starting netminder. They lost they lost half their team in the offseason. Lost half their season to being decimated by injuries. Elias Pettersson is still out. The whole COVID thing happens, and they're still better than us.
Dude, they went through, 2.5 weeks without playing a game, and we still couldn't pass them in the standings? Why couldn't our team get COVID? So we wouldn't have to watch this bullshit.
It's unreal, man.
Obviously, I'm kidding, but fuck.
It's unreal.
So we suck. It's official. I don't know, man. I think what we have to do is start looking at what this team needs to do, because we're not making the playoffs, man. It's just not going to happen.
Oh, what do you mean? It starts tomorrow night. You just got to win tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to start playing, right?
Yeah. They've been holding it. They've been holding back for a while. And
I'm surprised.
Now they're ready to roll.
I'm surprised Sean wasn't like, well, we got 3 games against Montreal. And then, it's going to be the Senators after that. And it's going to really start then. That next game against the Senators, that's when the season's going to start.
Yeah, a week from now, when there's only like 6 games left in the season, that's when we're going to start. Yeah.
They're going to go 1-2 against the Habs. And Giordano's going to be like, we've got to learn from this real quick here if we want a chance.
We're going to be going into the last.
We're a little bit behind the eight ball.
We're going to be going into the last game of the season, where it's like, if we, the only stakes will be if we lose, we're in last and Ottawa passes us, and Gio or whoever will be on there and just be like, yeah, well, we just have to come out and have fun tonight. It's just, you know, we just have some fun and we'll finish last in the worst of it. This has been so depressing.
So I think,
how has it come to this?
I don't know, man, but it's over. Like the run that this team had, 18-19, has completely come and gone. It's fizzled out. It's gone. It's faded. Bye-bye.
Moment of silence.
Do you think we'll be better next year? Because
I don't think so. Like,
it's
what?
It's going to come down to Sutter. Sutter
single-handedly
make this team better? I still think he can. But, man, it is not encouraging to watch. And look, I guess they won 3 in a row and then they lose one. But it's the fashion that they continue to lose in.
It's like you said, they had a golden opportunity presented to them, one which they did not deserve. Didn't deserve that. Didn't deserve to have a chance to beat Ottawa to get back into this thing for realsies, because Connor McDavid shit out a golden egg for you and helped beat the Montreal Canadiens, and the Canadiens are falling flat on their face. Presented a golden opportunity, and they still blow it. That's what's just infuriating about the whole thing. After you've already lost to Ottawa 10 times this year.
Yeah, I I'm at a loss for belief, man. I really just don't believe in this group.
I wonder if Brad does.
I'd love someone to ask him that. Do you still believe in this group?
What a dumbass. I don't believe in this group. Like, no, this is it. Like, that. I don't know why, but, well, I do know why. Like, it's over, man.
Yeah, it's over.
Everyone knows it.
This season's over.
I mean, in general, it's over. Like,
because, listen.
How do these guys bounce back next year? How?
Yeah. In general, this group, it's done. So if you're shrewd in terms of managing this team, you got to start over now. You don't even have a lot of you don't have deep prospects pool. It's not like you need to rebuild that prospect pool. Like, what are they going to do next season? They're going to ice this group again?
Well, exactly. Like, what are your options?
But here's the thing, is this like, I mean, you keep pulling this up, right? What Sutter says, it's not whether you win or lose, it's whether you're winning or losing. And as a hockey player, are you on a projection of getting better or worse? Because who on this team, other than Chris Tanev, Noah Hanifin, Mangiapane, is on a projection of getting better currently?
And no one.
And it's not even like, you know, it's a small slope of deprogression for the rest of the team. It's a cliff. Everybody's falling off a fucking cliff.
Your top players, Gaudreau, Monahan specifically, I guess he's never going to come back. Gaudreau doesn't look like he's getting back to the elite level. Backlund, hell no. Tkachuk, he should bounce back, but...
Yeah, he should.
I don't know.
We've been saying that all fucking season, and apparently falling on your face is not bouncing back.
So. It's just such a mess. You have no assets that anybody wants, no assets that are going up in value. The prospect pool is... Like, who do you got? You got Valimaki and, like, Matt Phillips for, like, NHL-ready guys. That's it. It's just, it's a really weird and I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they can do. There's not much to do, man.
It's at some point you got to start heavily developing these prospects, right? Like, at what point are we going to see Michael Stone out of the lineup and Shillington playing fucking games as well as Rizichka instead of Richie in the top six?
Dude, like, this is ridiculous. Right now, as of this point, there should be at least one of these guys playing. Shillington, like, I guess, I don't know what their thing is with Shillington. Daryl even said after the game the other night, he was like, oh, why did you lose or whatever? One of the dumb reporters asked him some stupid question. And one of his answers was our defense was a lot slower than their defense. It's like, then play Shillington. Jeez. Like, do you remember the last game that guy played? He made that sweet feed to Lindholm that I don't even know who they were playing.
Yep.
But it was a sweet goal. He goes zone to zone and sets up Lindholm right in front, scored. I don't understand this. Like, are they just playing like, I can't believe Brad Schilling is not playing. What does he play? Guess who or checkers when the rest of the league is playing chess? Like, I can't believe he's playing chess and like just, oh, I'm hiding you or Shillington for the expansion draft. That's not going on. No way. Like, they don't like this guy for some reason. I don't know why. It's stupid.
Is there any scenario where you're not a better team currently if Shillington's playing over Rasmus Anderson?
No, Anderson's terrible.
What value is Anderson bringing to your team right now other than a negative one?
Nothing. He's doing nothing right, man.
So at what point, like, here's the thing, like, you literally have to take minimum bar none or else your season is completely kaput. 5 out of the next 6 points out of Montreal.
Dude, you got to get 6, all 6 in regulation.
Well, either that or probably.
You do.
You could probably still maintain your stupidity of, yeah, it starts tomorrow night. Starts against Ottawa.
Starts tomorrow. Well, you just...
But literally, if you don't get... If you even get 4 out of 6 points, like, it's done. It's over 100%. Like, it's completely finished.
If you even get 5 points and Montreal gets a point, like, 3 points, because you beat them in overtime or something, it's over.
So, at what point do we see some of these prospects get called up and actually start playing? Like, when are they going to develop these guys? Obviously, the current group is not the answer here. It's not the solution moving forward.
Well, dude, like, this has been a long problem for the Flames in general, but under Schilling as well. I saw somebody tweet it out, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, so I might be a little wrong, but it was, like, something to the effect of, like, the Flames are they've only graduated, like, 6 players in the past, like, 7 years or something. Like, one of the lowest in the league in terms of, like, letting young guys make their debuts in the NHL. It's absurd. Like, remember how long it took them to put Dubé in the lineup?
That's because, like, Treliving and his coaches have a fascination with, you know, playing guys like Reeder, Richie.
Yeah, yeah. Last season, Dubé had a great training camp. Bill Peters is shitting all over him. Then they sign, who did they sign that year? Ronaldo, Reader. There's one other guy. They signed three PTOs, and I can't remember the other guy.
Real rememberable, eh?
Exactly. Yeah, and they played over Dubé for like months.
It was a D-man, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't remember. But like these, I don't get, like, what is with these guys and not wanting to develop players? It's ridiculous. I don't even know. Like, why is that their organizational philosophy? Especially when, like you're saying, these guys suck. There's no downside here. They suck. I don't get it.
So if we're going to analyze anything of the current group with any hope remaining. So, okay. Well, I mean, the last podcast was, we came on right after the game was over. We were hoping to get 3 days of practice in because that seems to be the only situation where you can see results in terms of wins. But of course, Monday is a mandated day off. So they only had two. They practiced Tuesday was a mandated day off. They practiced on Wednesday. They practiced today on Thursday. We didn't touch on this out in the last podcast, but Daryl Sutter was fucking pissed after that loss to the Ottawa Senators. Notably, usually he keeps his cool. He's been keeping his cool after losses so far, even amidst the 8 out of 9 games losing streak that we were on. But he looked really pissed. He looked frustrated.
Daryl, just in general, what did you think the difference between the two teams was tonight?
I think their defense was a lot quicker than ours. I thought our defense played a really slow game.
Would Eric Francis?
Daryl, can you just talk about the role that turnovers played in the difference in this game? It seemed like it was obviously the difference in the game.
Well, there's 3 or 4 guys, Eric, so don't generalize it. There's 3 or 4 guys that were good players that turned the puck over several times tonight.
What is it about this Ottawa team that has allowed them to have the Flames number all year?
I think in this building, the Flames have played pretty good this year. In their building, they hadn't.
Any further questions for Daryl? Ryan Pike.
Is Ryan on there?
Yeah. Daryl, I'm curious. What do you think wasn't working for your club on those 2 power plays in the third period? Because it seemed like
too slow. Wasn't just the power play was too slow. They passed the puck too slow, and same guys who turned the puck over all night were the same guys who turned it over in the power play for the most part. You can't pass the puck into the net. You got to shoot it into the net. We got guys that didn't have a shot in goal, probably 5 or 6 turnovers and didn't get a shot in goal. So
he didn't call out any names, but pretty obvious who he's talking about. He says 3 or 4 guys, good players for us, turned the puck over several times tonight. Like you said, he said the defense played a really slow game. This comes back to what we've been saying for weeks, for months. Where's the pace? Break out with speed. Got no transition. You can't, you know, you're not able to press. You're not able to generate anything without that. And then somebody asked him about the power play. And he said, oh, too slow. Power play was too slow. The guys moved the puck around too slow. And then he said the same guys that turned the puck over all night turned the puck over on the power play as well. He said you can't pass the puck into the net. You have to shoot it into the net. And he said, we got guys that probably had 5 or 6 turnovers. Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, that didn't have a shot on goal. So this is my last shred of hope. It's like this guy at least knows what's going on the ice. That was why, you know, Jeff Ward was weighing over his head. It's like, yeah, your team stinks and you have no idea why, bud. Like you're out to lunch. You're over your head. At least Sutter can break it down to actual details, X, Y, Z, X's and O's of why your team isn't getting results. And then he goes and puts Richie back in the top six. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, lots of giveaways. Gaudreau had 5. Kachuk had 4. Valimaki had 3.
Dude, Valimaki was tire fire again.
Yeah, he was an absolute mess. Yeah, Gaudreau, I don't even think Gaudreau had a shot attempt in that game.
So, and Sutter's been harping on this. If you want to come back to, look, I'm always all for hanging on for hope, because that's like the only reason why I would still want to watch a game, right? So if you want to come back and address the situation as a whole with the current group, and can we see success moving forward? Obviously, these guys have to stop falling off a cliff. They need to have a resurgence in their career. That's what we've been waiting for. You know, we've been under the impression that Ward has taken us to this point, and it might be a point of no return for some of these players. Like, it literally might. But you know, the nice hopeful thing too as well is look at a guy like Sam Bennett. Let's see if he can keep it up, because that goes to point that it's not necessarily the players.
Well, and again, like, I don't know. I just don't know how you can keep rolling out with so many of these guys who are just obviously regressing, you know? Like, that's what's kind of bumming me out, is like, okay, I haven't seen any sign. I've been on here defending Sean Monahan forever. It's like, he is not apparently going to ever get back to the level he was at.
No, it doesn't look like it.
So.
And so then what is he now? That's where we're kind of at. We're in this limbo phase. We don't know. We didn't know what Sam Bennett was. We still don't really know. Maybe there's a shred of hope there for him. Maybe there's a shred of hope there for Monty in a different club, different organization. Maybe there's a shred of hope for Johnny. Probably. I mean, out of everybody, you think Johnny would be the easiest to have a bounce back season elsewhere.
Well, yeah, and he's been okay this year too. Like, he's been much better than he was last year for sure.
Yeah.
Like you said, limbo, I think, is a good way to put it. I don't know, like, and I don't think the team does either, and that's always been the problem. Like, pick a direction and go for it.
Yeah. The other comparable you can draw to see where the future holds is, remember when the Oilers fired, what's his nuts?
Which one?
McLellan.
Todd McLellan, yeah.
They fired McLellan in the middle of the season. It was bad, dude. And their team isn't much better than it is now. Like, not a lot, right? Like, I mean, yes, they've made improvements. But the biggest thing that the Oilers have improved on is their team play. They brought in Hitchcock, some success, and then Tippett under the first season, meh. They were okay last year. They're good. Like, they've progressed. And Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are maybe slightly better than they were in the past 3 seasons, but not by a long shot, right? Their team, their general manager made the roster better.
What?
Amazing what happens. Amazing what happens.
Well, it's funny.
It's amazing what happens.
Just as a little, just as an aside, last night Montreal's playing the Oilers. And who, what did you text me about Anderson and Toffoli?
Combined for 3 goals last night.
Right, and how many goals have Nordstrom and Simone combined for this year? Oh, one. Okay.
One. Yeah, okay. Right.
Just check my math on that. Okay.
Good pickups.
But, I mean, yeah, because the thing is, if you look at the Flames, how they're playing, they're still playing okay. They just need some goal scoring, right?
Yeah, and if you're looking at, you know, the Sutter body of work as a whole, it's going to be really hard to measure what you have in the middle of a season like this, right? Like, there's not enough time to implement enough change for long enough to have sustained success. That's the battle that Sutter is communicating without really going out and say it, right? That's the battle he's dealing with. We've seen that. The reason why I pull up that Edmonton Oilers as a comparison, it was kind of the same thing. It wasn't until the second full season under Tippett where they started to see some results. So, and then obviously the general manager making your team better. Still, such a bizarre concept for here in Calgary. Yeah?
Crazy, man. It's insane. And I mean, again, like, we come on, it's kind of like a release valve, really, this cyclical thing of like, okay, you finally get back into it, and then they suck against Ottawa. And then it's just like, you got to release all those emotions because that was frustrating as shit. But again, if you look at Sutter's body of work, they have been better. They've been much better. I'm looking at some statistics across the league. Right now, the Flames place 11th in 5-on-5 expected goals percentage in the league. They're still doing some decent things on the ice since Daryl Sutter took over, right?
Is that for or against?
Four. So that, yeah, 50, really? 51, yeah, 51.61% sandwiched between the Wild and the Bruins. So like, if you get decent goaltending, if Jacob Markstrom and David Rick don't let you down for 10 games, 11 games there, and you get a few goals, you're probably not in such a dire situation. And if this is 82 games, everything sucks right now. And I wish they'd tank and I wish they'd blow it up, but they won't do that. So like you said, our Daryl Sutter's are still our best hope.
Yep.
That's the bottom line.
He's the last remaining shred of hope. And then if that is true, then Brad also needs to make the team better if you want any hope. Because if Daryl's going to actually bring this team some results next season, he's going to need a better roster to work with. And it doesn't even need to, you don't need to go out and sign Taylor Hall. You don't need to go and spend like $20 million that you don't have. Just make some shrewd additions.
Right? Like, instead, be shrewd. Exactly.
Instead of trying to like revitalize guys from the dead, or just like, who is Brett Ritchie? Who? You're picking up Reeder? That's going to be our, like, those are going to be our new top six guys.
We're signing Stone again?
Because you know what happens as soon as you bring in a PTO player. Oh, what's the over-under until he's guys in the top six? 8 games.
We literally, well, we got it a bit wrong because in the offseason, we're like, oh, Nordstrom's the new best right winger. But we are off because it was Simone and then it was Richie. But concept still applies.
Nordstrom will probably be the next one.
It's just, yeah, man, like, I want this, the countdown to this season being over is painstaking right now. And it's bumming me out.
Yeah. So the only thing, like, obviously, this is my shred of hope where it's like, okay. And I think they're probably going to go one more kick at the can. Don't you?
I think if Brad Treliving is still the general manager, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think ownership is going to allow him to go through the rebuild. I just don't see it happening.
No.
But like you said, right, keeping things into perspective amidst all the bullshit, this team is getting better. And I think that's all that Sutter is referring to, is like, whether you're winning or losing, are you in the direction of getting better progressively, implement, like, incrementally, bit by bit? Just so happens you're at an all-time low. So even if you're incrementally getting better and better, it might take you a bit to actually be above 500. So, I mean, if you listen to what he's saying, like, in the past two weeks, he's been hammering on this group in terms of the lack of experience they have. And on one hand, you're like, fuck, I don't want to hear that. It's kind of like one of those things where you don't want to look at it. It kind of goes along with, yeah, we don't have the firepower. I don't want to hear that either. But at some point, right, if that is true, if his assessment is accurate, which it probably is because he's pretty accurately assessing everything else, then what, right? I think he knows what the what is. I think he knows what the solution is. And that's what he's trying to hammer home with these guys, trying to instill with these guys, because he's still talking about, if you're looking at the Ottawa game and his assessment there, he's still basically saying this team doesn't have enough maturity, doesn't have the wherewithal to play consistent on a nightly basis and on a game-by-game basis, period-by-period basis, and a shift-by-shift basis. And I know he's alluded to it. He said it, called it out. That's what he's trying to instill. And if you look at you know, all the shit these guys got before Sutter was even announced head coach. Look back at all the coaches. Underwood, Peters, Gallatin, Hartley. It's all been the same thing. All this, it's the core, blah, blah, blah. Right? They don't have what it takes. They don't know, like, so Sutter is basically saying the same thing. But where we've always been on the side of the fence is just like, yes, if that's true, is that their fault? They need coaching. They need someone to take them to the next level. I'm still hanging on hope that Sutter is the guy, right? Even though it's hard. It really is.
Yeah, and I mean, what else are you going to do? Because
yeah,
it's either that or you go insane.
Literally. This is a microcosm. So I don't get this, man. I want you to tell me in a way, like, do your best. Try to explain it to me in a way I can be like, okay. Why is Richie in the top six? Tell me why. Why?
Because I don't know why. He's a big boy. I really don't know why. All we've heard Daryl say about it is that he can skate for a big guy. That's really it. I don't know why. And it seems to be more of a, because we were talking about this earlier. I was like, okay, I understand bumping Dubé down, right? I get that.
I got no problem with Dubé.
He's been inconsistent. He hasn't been very good. He's absolutely zero problem. But why not?
Dubé definitely falls into the category of what Sutter's talking about. It's like, you know, there's not enough maturity, there's not enough experience to be able to put it out there for a full 60. Because we always see him dip near the end of the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like he tends to fade toward he tends to have really good stretches and really bad stretches, especially at 5-on-5. So it seems to be more about Dubé, but I just don't get why Richie is the guy you keep putting with the top six. It makes no sense to me. What does this guy do well? What does he do well? Because for me, when you have a guy like Sean Monahan, what Monahan needs is somebody who can get the puck out of his own zone. I guess he's got Andre Mangiapane to do that, but I mean, Brett Richie really nullifies the rest of it. I don't see one redeeming quality of Brett Richie. I do not. I see nothing. Can he score goals? No. I guess he can hit. So yeah, what?
Even then, like, he doesn't have the speed to go and get the hit done.
He doesn't have, like, you watch Mangiapane play, a guy who is physical, but can use his physicality to get a puck so he can score a goal or set up a goal. I do not understand the Brett Richie experiment. I don't know why somebody doesn't ask, say, Daryl, Brett Richie's playing in your top six again. What's going on with that?
Yeah.
Like, I've been racking my brain. I keep trying because, I've been pulling up stats from the past. He had a couple really good years in Dallas, like 3-4 years ago.
In 16-17, he had 16 goals, 8 assists, 24 points.
So I'm like, well, maybe there's something there. I don't know. But, like, I've watched Brett Richie play this year. Everyone else has watched Brett Richie play this year. He has been terrible for this team. On the ice, he's not helping you win games. I just don't understand what he brings to the top six. So you asked me to try to explain it to you. I can't. I really can't. Like, what does he do?
Like, if you're trying to put yourself in Sutter's brain, why? Why is he there?
Because he's big. That's it. That's all I've heard is that he's big and can skate. When he gets going, that's the only thing I've heard. I do not get it. Does anybody know?
Because he said, yeah, he's got some size. So, unless you're going to utilize your size to have, you know, a positive impact in some way, it's not like he's making plays. He can't hit the fucking net.
Well, exactly. Like, even if you put Lucic there, I'd be like, yeah, okay. That's a guy that's competent in his own zone. He's strong in front of the net, and he can score if he gets the puck in a good area, right? Richie can't do that.
So why not Levo? Obviously, that's the obvious question.
Why not Levo? Guy who can score goals, a guy who can play in his own zone, guy who can play drive. It makes no sense to me.
If you're gonna bump somebody up, and you know, obviously he's not necessarily the best option in the top six, but maybe he's better than Richie. Better than Richie.
And like I've said a million times, he's one of the team's best generators at scoring chances in terms of the rate statistic because he barely gets any ice time. Like that night he scored two goals the other night. He had like 7 shot attempts, 5 scoring chances, and like 10 minutes of ice.
Yeah.
The dude is efficient and he's great in his own zone and he's got a great shot and he's really good in the corners. And I just don't understand why this team is so reliant on Brett Ritchie. It just makes literally no sense to me.
And the numbers back it up.
If you look at expected goals for percentages at 5-on-5, Brett Ritchie is below 50%, 47.49. Only a few forward skaters are worse than him this year. Joachim Nordstrom, Dominic Simone, and Dylan Dubé. So I would rather have Simone there. At least the guy can skate. Just blows my mind. Like, I don't understand why this experiment is still going on. Especially when it's like, it seems mostly as a, not a punishment. Well, maybe it is a punishment, but it seems to mostly be Dubé related. So why neuter your top six to send Dylan Dubé a message? Seems pretty dumb.
It is. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Like we said, I mean, fuck. If you lose one of these next three games to Montreal, like you're done. It's done.
It starts tomorrow, baby.
Starts tomorrow. Starts tonight. Starts tomorrow. Got to learn from this. So, man, I don't know. And then, like, it's rough. It's tough to come on here and talk about this when your team is virtually irrelevant. It sucks being irrelevant.
It's the worst. And man, it's just like the fall, like that, the fall for, we were the best team in the league pretty much 2 years ago. It's mind blowing.
And if you're going to be irrelevant, then why? I get it. You're playing for the last shred of hope and maybe he's doing things we don't understand in terms of, you know, building for next year. You know, setting a bar of what it takes to get that ice time. But at some point, when do you get to see these younger prospects?
Well, that's the thing I'm like, is like, hey, if you want some energy, you know, you want some compete, you want guys fighting for spots, you want, like, I guarantee you put Matt Phillips in over Brett Ritchie and Rozicki in over Nordstrom. Those guys are going to be playing their nuts off, dude. They're going to be playing like, I just don't get it.
Are the Heat still playing? Did they finish their season?
They finished their season in the Dome, but they are still have some road games left.
So once this debacle is officially finished, it's going to be interesting to see what steps Sutter and the management start to implement when there's still games to be played this season.
Well, that's why I wish they'd just go ahead and get mathematically eliminated already, so we can kind of stop the charade of like, we can still do it, starts tomorrow. But that's when things will get interesting, because like, hopefully when that is apparent, there will be some changes made and a clear direction will be, not even a clear direction, but we'll see some different things. Because
wouldn't that be nice and have something communicated?
Just like, that's exactly.
Here's how we're going to be moving from now on.
That's why it's so frustrating right now. I know for everybody, we don't know what's going on. There's never any changes. It's just all the same.
All we hear is it starts tonight.
Yeah.
That's all we know. Oh, it starts tonight. Okay. What about the last 50 games?
I dread if there's an off season this year where they don't do anything again. Like, it just feels like we've been in this muck and mire, we have, I guess, since the end of the Colorado Avalanche playoff series 2 years ago. Like, it's just been a long and slow, awful, directionless, aimless death march. It's just been terrible.
Boy, 3 years is a long time to be standing pat, eh?
It's just been brutal.
Regardless of success or failure, it's still painful to stand pat.
Like, and you can't even enjoy anything. Like, Lucic is a 1,000th game thing. I didn't care about that. I was just like, this is dumb. I can't enjoy anything anymore. It's just like, I don't know where this team's going, and it's really frustrating.
So let's just hope that no, it's not starting. Nothing starts. It's not happening. I'm sorry. My belief right now is 0%. I don't have a shred of belief in this group that they're going to do it this season. So, like you said, let's hope the mathematically eliminated shit just happens quicker, sooner than later. And then let's hope that you see some sort of vision that makes sense for the future moving forward. Communicated, explained, and acted on.
Some kind of vision.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.